We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
8:02 on a Friday night. Joe Giulio with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP. We have Michael DeFore behind the glass. I'm in for Jack TK, Tom Kelly on the updates. You guys with us. 888-729-9494. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a few minutes here on Carson Wentz, a possible extension, the moves the Eagles have made so far in free agency, a lot more to come here. We got to go out to the phone lines right now, though, and bring on Mike K. NJ.com covers the Eagles there. He's with us right now. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well, and it's been quite a week here with the Eagles. You know, you always know how he's going to make moves. We don't know where they're going to come from. Malik Jackson was surprising. DeSean Jackson, not totally surprising, but it kind of came pretty quick. And then, of course, Ronald Darby coming back. Let's just go through the week here, Mike. What's your overall takeaway of your thoughts on what the Eagles have done here first week of free agency?
Well, I think they've played the market pretty well. You know, you bring in Malik Jackson, he's your big money free agent signing, but he doesn't impact your compensatory picks for the future, which is something they really wanted to be mindful of. I covered him in Jacksonville. Malik's a really good locker room guy. He's maybe a top five pass rushing interior defensive lineman in the league. I remember talking to him in the locker room about how he was on the upper echelon, you know, just behind Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald. Now he's playing next to Fletcher Cox, and he's ecstatic about it. DeSean Jackson makes a ton of sense. He's a huge upgrade over Torrey Smith and Mike Wallace the last 2 years. He's exactly what they needed as a deep threat. And it seems like he's matured a bit from his press conference. And then you look at LJ Fort. I know for a fact, I was told this, they went after him very, very hard. I reported he's got escalators in his contract over the next 3 years that he could be paid $10 million a year. He's going to compete for the middle linebacker spot, low cost, especially when you consider what Jordan Hicks got in Arizona. And then I like this Ronald Darby signing. They really tried hard before the start of free agency to re-sign him, and they ended up getting him for just a little bit over what they initially offered him.
It's interesting you mentioned Fort there, because he is the guy that has gotten so little conversation this week that we, you know, we really on the radio station haven't talked much about him, way less compared to everybody else. But the way you framed it there is he's not just a depth piece, because it feels like every year, Mike, they sign a linebacker, and when it first happens, it's usually not a big name, so we don't know what to expect. And Bradham worked out really well. He wasn't received with a lot of conversation here. He turned out to be a player. But then a guy like last year, Corey Nelson, nothing really happened with it. So you seem, the way you made it, you framed it is, LJ Fort might actually be a real contributor for this team.
Yeah, he played well in spot starts with the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Obviously, they run a 3-4 defense. He's coming now to be a 4-3 middle linebacker. But he's a guy who's got excellent speed. If you remember back to that season opener in 2012, if you can think back that far, the Cleveland Browns versus the Philadelphia Eagles, as an undrafted rookie, he started that game and picked off Michael Vick in the end zone. So he's a guy that has some starting experience. He's got some really unique speed at the position. The Eagles really went hard after him. He was a guy that they really keyed in on and wanted. And I think his deal speaks to that, especially when you look at the escalators in his contract. You bring up that guys aren't well-received. I remember going to bat for Craven LeBlanc, who I covered when he was coming out of college. And nobody thought he was anything more than just a depth signing. He turned out to be probably one of the bigger signings of the season. And Jim Schwartz said that he could have been the reason why they went so far in the playoffs.
That happens once in a while. We don't talk about it. It seems like a lower-level deal, and it turns out to be a big one. Mike, the opposite of that is DeSean Jackson. Big name, was here before, tons of fans. People didn't want him to leave to begin with, and he's back now. He's been the story of the week. What did you think of the idea of not only bringing DeSean back, but giving him some extra years in that contract, lowers the cap number, but the Eagles really are banking on him, Mike, to continue to have that speed that he has now, and it feels like he hasn't lost a step yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. He led the league in yards per catch with 18.9 last year, and think about that. All the turmoil that was going on at the quarterback position, it seemed like, you know, Fitzpatrick and Winston were switching off every other week. He also had a big play against the Eagles who saw him up close and personal in week two in that loss. So I think they feel very comfortable with Deshaun. It's probably more like a two-year deal. And, you know, at 32, he can still, even if he's a one-trick pony, he's going to take away the safety coverage, which is going to open up things for the tight ends, for the wide receivers. And I don't think you can measure his success on catches. He's going to be a guy that if he impacts the passing game away from the ball, it's going to be, you know, a victory for the Eagles team.
Mike K, NJ.com, joining us here, talking some Eagles. All right, Mike, we talked about what they did. How about now what they didn't do here? Running back situation. Look, I thought Mark Ingram and Tevin Coleman could both be pieces of the puzzle here for this team. Maybe sign one of those guys and then draft a kid and have a pretty decent backfield. Because right now, it's not a pretty decent backfield. If the numbers got crazy, I would have walked away. I don't think the numbers were crazy for either. 315 for Ingram, 210 for Coleman. What do you make of the Eagles' strategy, or not much of one right now, with the running back position?
I think you're completely on point. Mark Ingram was a guy that I thought made a lot of sense. He could be a really good short yardage back. He can do pretty much everything. He can block. He can catch. Coleman's a guy who has a lot of potential. He's another guy that could develop into a three-down back. They really favor committees, Joe, and it's evident now. There's nobody really left on the market that you're like, oh, wow, this is a guy that they need to sign. I think they love this draft class. They were all over running backs at the combine, especially the guys that could be taken on day two. If Josh Jacobs isn't there at 25, which I don't think he will be, and I think that kind of goes against their philosophies, you could see a guy getting selected in the second round for the first time since 2009 when they drafted Shady. Keep an eye on Miles Sanders. They really, really like him. They really like David Montgomery from Iowa State. And then my guy would be Daryl Henderson from Memphis. That guy is a big play waiting to happen. He averaged 8.2 yards per carry during his college career. And, I mean, he's just explosive. I really like the second round for running back.
And if they get one there, there'll be expectations for the player. You know, if it's fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, it's one of those. We'll see. But second round, there would be real expectations. Mike K, NJ.com, joining us here, talking some Eagles as this offseason really cranked up this week. Mike, the other thing they didn't do this week was really anything besides just agree to have Nelson Agholor around for another year by guaranteeing his money for 2019. It's a pretty high cap number. I like Nelson, and I didn't want to get rid of him because even with Deshaun, I didn't want to create another wide receiver need. I like him here as the slot guy again. It does feel like a lot of money, though, for Nelson Agholor.
Well, I think it's a lot of money on a short-term deal, right? So you're not you don't have any added risks. Like, what if he comes out and he's, you know, he regresses and you've just signed him to an extension that's $7 million a year? So I think when you look at it, he's going to be motivated because he's in the last year of his deal. He's a guy that really has developed in the slot. I think he's a perfect complement to both Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson being on the outside. And really, when you look at this wide receiver position, sure, they could take a wide receiver in the first round, but most wide receivers don't develop right away. DeSean Jackson was a guy who no one expected to develop the way he did. And across from Kevin Curtis, he had an incredible rookie year. So, you know, the percentage chances of you developing a rookie to go along with DeSean and Alshon aren't very high. So you take the $9.4 million and you hope that Agholor makes the most of this opportunity. And I think he will. I think he is one of the most unique talents at wide receiver in the league.
And if they bring him back and he stays here and there's no trade and he's back, the Eagles have a lot of passing weapons next season. I mean, you just think about what this depth chart would look like with Deshaun on one side, Alshon on the other, Nelson in the slot. And then, Mike, I'm not sure how you feel about him, but I feel like as the year went on, Dallas Goedert won me over and became more and more of a guy I project is for big things moving forward. So you have Ertz and Goedert. I mean, they're really giving Carson Wentz a lot of weapons here in the pass game.
Well, and this offseason needs to be about making Carson Wentz comfortable. That's it. I mean, Nick Foles is gone. Nate Sudfeld's a restricted free agent. But outside of that, you need to make sure that his offensive line is intact. You did that by extending Isaac Seumalo. You extended Jason Kelce. You kept Jason Peters around. Now you got to find a really good swing tackle and an heir apparent for Jason Peters because, you know, he's inevitably going to miss parts of games, if not all of some games. And then, you know, Brandon Brooks, we don't know if he'll be ready off that Achilles injury right away. You might start off on PUP. You need to find a very good backup guard because you let go of Stefan Wisniewski. I hear they're doing their research on a few veteran offensive linemen. Hopefully they can bring a guy in because Carson, protecting Carson and allowing him to make plays is essential for this season. That's it. You want to make sure that you're signing him to a long-term deal, but he's got to earn it.
Do you think the long-term deal could happen this offseason? Since they lost the Cowboys that game and he played poor in the first half, and then we found out he was hurt and he missed the rest of the season, I have been under the impression they were going to wait. They should wait. It makes more sense to wait, see if he can stay healthy, see how well he plays, another year of information. But there is a chance, and they could, under the rules, extend him this offseason. What's your guess on how the Carson thing plays out?
I think it's beneficial for both sides to wait, just because you want to make sure, you know, he's got two back-to-back season-ending injuries. You want to make sure that he can, you know, stay durable during a season. You want to make sure that he can, you know, he's 2 years removed from an ACL. Hopefully he's fully recovered. You want to make sure that that back injury is not something that could linger, even though they said it would heal on its own. And then from Carson's standpoint, you know, you don't want to sign an extension coming off two injuries. Your value isn't that important. The only reason, if I'm the Eagles, that I want to extend him maybe mid-season is because Patrick Mahomes is going to be due to get an extension next year. And not only is he going to set the market, he might leap over the rest of the market by a mile. And you don't want to be the team that has to pay your starting quarterback right after Patrick Mahomes. Because I think the Chiefs will rush to get that done.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. That will change the whole thing here. Last one for you, Mike. As we look forward with this offseason, look forward with the Eagles here in 2019, the one thing we can all count on is the NFC East, specifically the bottom of the NFC East, is probably going to be a tire fire. The Redskins lost Alex Smith, and they're always kind of comically inept. The Cowboys are the only real competition, and they're the Cowboys with Jerry Jones picking players. And then now, Mike, we have the Giants, who in the past used to be a pretty formidable competition for the Eagles, and now Just give me a quick thought or two on Dave Gettleman, on the Giants offseason, and what the heck they're doing up there.
Man, it's been fun to write about the Giants. I predicted that Golden Tate would go to the Giants after the Odell Beckham trade, but even then it's kind of a weird fit because Sterling Shepard's in the slot. You know, you're signing a 31-year-old guy to a massive contract who now apparently is the ambassador to New York, go figure, after doing a PR tour in Philadelphia. But, I mean, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Unless you have a veteran that you're trying to target that's kind of under the radar. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Russell Wilson and the Yankees. I'm wondering if that's something that the Seahawks might, you know, be open to dealing with him and start a rebuild. I don't know. That's just speculation. But I don't really understand this plan at all. Unless you're trading for Josh Rosen or you're trading for somebody who has experience, you're not really setting the next guy up very well. And holding on to Eli is just, I don't understand it at all. I don't get it.
It is bizarre. The Giants have become the most bizarre team in the NFL. Mike Kay, NJ.com, covers the Eagles in the NFL there. Appreciate you hopping on, man. Have a good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.